If you want a title for what it's called, you know, it pays to pay attention. You know, somebody asked me, said, well, now, are you a preacher? Are you a teacher? I said, well, sometimes I teach and sometimes I preach and sometimes I preach, teach, and sometimes I don't know what I do. I just do it. But I'm just me. I was talking with somebody today, and they were talking about how they said, we just love you and the church because you just regular guy. You just down to earth. I don't put on any fronts, you know. What you see here is the same thing you get anywhere else you're with me, because a lot of people know and been with me in different kinds of situations, and I'm the same everywhere. It don't make no difference. Ben Farrell there with BMC Advertising that does some of our stuff, he's known me since back in the 70s when I was a lot slimmer than I am now. But have I changed any, Ben? Not a bit. All right. You know, hey, did you know it's the Christmas season? Hey, and man, it seems like you get a little bit extra busy, and seems like it's sometimes can be a very challenging situation. But you know, old Solomon, he gives us some pretty good words over in Proverbs 4:20. He got some pretty good words here. I'll give you an opportunity to turn there, okay? I hope all of you are as fast as the people are on the front row, because that's who I look at. And as soon as I see that they found it, then I go, okay? So y'all need... how many of you... Man, when I was a teenager going to church, and we used to have what we call sword drills. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some people knowing. You know, one thing it did do, it helped you learn your Bible. That's why I found, you know, when I was just 13, 14, I didn't realize what they was doing. But that's what they were doing. They were helping me to learn my Bible, because, you know, it was a contest. And of course, you know me, I'm competitive as it be. I'm going to win. But you learn to turn those pages and find those scriptures pretty fast. Okay, here we go. My son, this King James, New King James. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, I want to read that out of the NLT, okay? My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. I like that. You know, these sort of seem elementary and seem like they're basic instruction, and they are. You know, one man said, the man who does the basics will be successful. Another man said, our success is hidden in our daily routine. Now, if you've ever been on any sports team, you will find out the team that executes the basics best is the team that wins. You know, it's great that you can play, some people that play musical, it's great that you can play a musical instrument and you can do all these fancy licks and everything, but if you don't keep up with the basics, the fancy licks go away. You know, it's great to have some trick plays, but if you're not running the basics, pretty soon the trick plays don't even work. Hello? You know, winning on the football field is blocking and tackling. Without blocking and tackling, you're not going to win. The basics. Basic stance. Yes. You know, how many of you played athletics? Some kind of athletics. And I've played baseball, football, basketball. And the basic stance, get your feet Even with your shoulders, so you got a good base, right? Don't make no difference. Basketball, football, baseball, you want to have a good stance. And you never cross your feet like this. You try to twist or turn, you're going to fall down. You do this. Hello, come on, basics. And I have noticed even professional teams, when they go out and start going to exercises and warming up, they do some of the basics exercises that those professionals, they've been doing since they were in peewee football. Same thing. Because that's what brings success. You know, man, it's really great to, it's great when the stands are yelling and screaming and everybody's jumping up and down and patting one another on the back. But what did you have to do to get to that point? Practice the basics over and over and over and over and over again and again and again. We ran a play one day. I believe we ran it 35 times in a row. And coach said, we're going to run it to everybody. All 11 guys executes their position perfectly. Do you realize that you could, that 10 of the 11 guys can execute and one guy doesn't execute, it'll break the whole play down? We ran that play over 35 times, I think it was. Some of us were starting to get tired because it was the same three guys that was messing up. Well, y'all know what happens to those guys when we get to play bull in the ring. Any of y'all ever played bull in the ring? Oh boy, that's the one you don't like. Okay. If you want to be successful in your Christian life, we have to go to the basics and stay with the basics. I don't care how much knowledge you want to receive. I don't care how much wisdom you want to get. The basics is you got to stay with it. And one of the first basic and the number one basic is reading the Word of God. The basics. I'm talking about the basics tonight. Pay attention to the basics, you know. And I think I've got two pages. I did. Another basic is praying and believing God. Another basic is going to church and worshiping. Another basic is walking in love toward one another. Hello, come on now. Don't shut out on me. These are just the basic things that if we want to have success in our life as Christians, these are basic things that we have to continue to remind ourselves of. I got any school teachers here tonight? I don't know whether I got any of my school teachers. I know we got some. There's my, I don't, what do you teach? Special ed, okay. But special ed has to do the same thing. I remember every time I went back to school, in English class, we would go over the same basics that we went over last year. And then we would add to them toward the end of the year. In math class, we went over the same basics. Because that is your foundation. A building cannot be built any stronger or any bigger than its foundation. When the engineers was figuring this building and how big it was going to be, after they figured the building, how big it's going to be, then they told us what kind of foundation we got to put under this building. I don't know how many hundred piers they are. I forgot. There's some of them from, there's some of them that are from 63 feet to 70 feet deep. And there's one right back there, and one right over there, and one right over there, up here, over there. That's how come we can have this spanded this way. That pier that metal post is sitting on, it's holding, it's going up to the top there. And that pier right out there that has a beam going up there, if you go up in these catwalks, you're right. Hey, get up there. That ceiling is still 30 or 40 feet from the top of the building. And that one over there. Those are 6 foot diameter. They're 6 foot in diameter. They are 63 feet deep. They got a rebar cage in it that the rebar is that big around, and they build a cage. I don't know whether y'all realize how they do that. They take that and they build a cage that's set down in there. Now, as they were pouring that, you know, I learned a lot about building. That's how I know so much about building, because I learned how to make corners and hang sheetrock. My father-in-law was an associate pastor. Then I learned about pouring concrete in piers here. And they would run some of that concrete in that pier, 63 feet deep, and it's 6 feet wide. I don't know how many concrete trucks backed up there. But they would pour in for a little bit, then they'd stop, and they put a deal that's a shaker down in there, and they run it around there shaking it, because they want all of that concrete to settle down. No honeycombs. Because if there's a honeycomb, that weakens the foundation. So, I don't know if any of you live back over, some of you live over in apartments, you know about this, but all of those houses back over behind our apartment, how many know where the student housing is? Any of you live in those houses behind them back there? All of you know that because the ground wasn't prepared properly, just about every house back there has had foundation problems. Any of y'all have foundation problems? Yeah. Hey, do you realize it's more expensive to come back and fix something than it is to do it right the first time? So, now, before we ever started pouring those piers, they told us, they said, this ground has got too much clay in it, and that's what they didn't do at those houses, and that clay expands and contracts and expands and contracts. So, this entire 350 feet that way, 350 feet that way, 350 feet that way, and 350 feet that way, and everything in the middle of that. Do you realize that's a football field? So from one end of that building to that building, it's 100 yards. Same over there, same there, same there. And then all of this in the middle. We had to come in here with scrapers. How many of you were here and saw that done? And they took out 3 feet of soil. And over here, we had Hagen's Mountain. Anybody? That's what the city called it. Remember that? Because that's a lot of dirt. But guess what? We had to bring other soil in. And then we mixed with the chemicals and so forth, and had that sheep foot going back and forth in here, and those rollers and everything. When they were finished with this, underneath this concrete was as hard as concrete. You could come out here and bounce a basketball with no problem whatsoever. They were preparing a foundation for this building. Do you understand that getting into the Word and is building a foundation for you to build your spiritual house on? And if you're going to be successful, you got to have a solid foundation. That's the reason some people, even though they know some of the Word and they know a little bit about faith, and they're born again, all right, And if they die, they're going to heaven, but they're not living a successful life because they have not bothered to get with the basics to build the foundation to have the spiritual house that they need to have for the success in life. Anybody still with me? All right. Now, let's look at this verse 4:20. Give attention, incline your ear. Other translation, pay attention, listen carefully. How many in here have ever had dad or mom grab you by the shoulders and look you in the eye and say, listen to me? Oh, I got 25 people out of this whole crowd. Now, they probably get in trouble now, but I've had football coach. I played when you had one bar across there. That's all you had. Anybody else play when you just had that one bar? That ain't no fun either. Hey, and that helmet was plastic with a web in it and a couple of foam pads here for cheeks, and that's all it was to it. These are nice helmets today. I had a coach, he grabbed me by that, and he held me, and he didn't shake me or nothing. He said, listen to what I'm saying. Now, we all laugh because we all been there. Somebody, mama, dad, teacher, coach, somebody has said it, probably all of them. That's what God is saying. God is saying, pay attention, listen to what I'm saying. You know, you're sitting in school, you're messing around, and the teacher said, Hagin, pay attention. See, I talked about me. I didn't talk about you, but I know I could call Tony's name, and I know he got that. Tony, pay attention. But this is what God is trying to tell us. Pay attention. Listen. You know, listen to what I'm saying, he's telling you. So we need to realize that everything in our Christian life rises and falls on how much attention we pay and listen to the word. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything in our Christian life rises and falls on how much attention we pay and how much word we listen to. Now, we'll say that to one another. Oh, boy, that's right. That's right. Man, that's really right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And then tomorrow you forget about it. The devil gets it away from you because he knows if he can keep you from listening and paying attention, he can set you up for failure. When you don't listen and don't pay attention in class, you're setting yourself up to fail the test. Right? Now, he goes on, don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't lose sight of them. Was another translation. And then he goes on to say, 4:21, keep them in the midst of your heart. Oh, well, that's okay. We understand that a little bit. But hey, let's go to another translation that I like. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Now, that speaks to us a little bit stronger and a little bit better than to keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. That speaks to us. We understand that better than we do. Oh, keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, okay. But hey, penetrate, that means boom, down to the core, down to the heart. Another translation said, don't lose sight of them. And it also says, let them penetrate. Now, it's easy to read your Bible and to agree with everything going on here at church. Oh, man, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo, glory. It's not that easy when you're at home tomorrow and the devil's slapping you around. Oh, why is this happening to me? Hey, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to have a pity party. If you go back and pay attention and listen to his word, you'll say, hey, Mr. Devil, get out of here. What do you think you're trying to do anyway? What's the matter with you? Hello, come on. Keep the word before your eyes. Why do we keep the word before our eyes? Do you ever realize that we are a visual people? The advertisers know this. All you got to do is see what they create, the visual creations that they create on our television with all the toys right now for all the kids to see. Daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want that. Because they have created an ad on television that penetrate, you saw it, hey, or you see something yourself. Hey, I need that. I saw something on there on TV the other day, and it was a deal, and I would just went up to Branson over the Thanksgiving holidays, and they got a store up there as seen on TV, and all those things they advertise on TV, they got a store there which sells them. And you don't have, and if you buy this one, you'll get one. No, it's just one you can just buy it. Not all the deal. And so I got one. Because I saw it, and I think it'll work pretty good. It's a it's like a scissors, but it's got a little cutting board and you know. Well, if I thought, I'm cutting up these little stuff for salads and stuff, you know, carrots and bell peppers. I said, man, that'd be easier than doing it with a knife. And it does. It works. It works. But it was all, I bought that because they visually created something visually that caught my attention. Do you understand that they will keep one of the things, and I was going to go into politics, so I know a little bit about the advertising. One of the things in politic advertising is they don't care if they get in some of the offices. All they want you to know is to remember that name, so when you go that ballot, say, well, wait a minute, who should I vote for here? That you've seen that name so many times that you'll vote for that name. It's the truth. That's why you'll drive down the road and you see all these signs, same name, all over the place. Time again. Over and over again. Why? Visual. We are visual people. So that's why God is saying, keep it in front of your eyes. Hello? Whatever you continually look at is what you become. It's the truth. They tell you that and you go study psychology. What you look at, what you see, will affect what you believe and affect how you believe. So it's vitally important. And I still got plenty of time. Good. Because I'm only on page 7 and I got 13. Just thought I'd let y'all know that. It's vitally important that we keep looking at the word until we have visualized it so much until it has become a part of us. It has become a part of us. You know, of course, we all, Mark 11:23, that's our base scripture around here for sure. They're saying, whoever says this, I'll be removed because he does not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. We know that. Then Romans 10:9, but if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we as Christians, if we're going to believe what the word says, then we can't afford to be looking at something and listening to something that draws us away from the word. And I'm sorry to say that some of the stuff on Christian television is drawing you away from the Word and not putting you to the Word, because they're putting their own interpretation, or this is what I believe about it, or some other something. I just turn it off. And, you know, sometimes someone says, oh, you keep it on that station? No, I don't keep it on there hardly at all, because I don't like most of the stuff that's on there. Now, I'm on there, but you got to be somewhere and try to get the Word out. At least maybe I can nullify some of the unbelief that's out there. How many of you ever noticed that on Christian television, there's as much unbelief as there is faith teaching? Well, you can't ever tell. Now, you have to let God handle this situation. Now, you know, you can pray and ask, but we know that he if he wants it, he'll do it. If he don't, he won't. I heard that just the other night. I about jumped out of bed. Because somebody will listen to that and say, well, I guess this is one of the times that God don't want to do it, you know. That's exactly, anyway, let me go on. You know, we just can't listen to all the talk shows. Man, you go turn it on, you go MSNBC, whatever it is, CNN, Fox, all them news stations, and they're all yelling about something. And if you stop and listen for just a moment, 90% of it is their speculation about what was said, not what was actually said. I'm serious. You know, I'm listening at, you know, I was trying to see what the, you know, all the rankings come out for the college football. Now, these four guys get on there, and they're all going through all these different scenarios. If this happens or that happens, this one will be here and this will be there and all that. And nobody knows. I mean, that's all their speculation, but they get people thinking that way. We need to have the Word of God before us, so we'll stay thinking the right way instead of the wrong way. See, now, look, they are life to those who find them, and hell to all their flesh. New Century Version said, they are the key to life for those who find them. What is? The words of God. They bring health to the whole body, the living body, for they will mean real life for you and radiant health. That's the old Living Bible. Then the new NLT, the New Living Translation, says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. John 10:10 says, we may have life and have it more abundantly. NIV, have it to the full. Wade Translation, have it to the fullest measure. Williams Translation, have it till it overflows. I like that. See, God wants our whole life to be filled with his word until it overflows in every area of our life, until we live the kind of word, the kind of life that he wants us to live. Abundant. He says he wants to have abundant life. If we're going to have abundant life, then we got to go back here and we got to go back to this basic scripture. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. It all boils down. Life or death, healing or sickness, prosperity or poverty, bound or free, condemned or righteous. So it all boils down to. Peter says, we've been given the exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. These promises are of New Life Translation. These promises are of great worth and no money can buy them, though through these promises you can have God's own life in you. Listen to my word, he says. Let them penetrate your heart. When you do, you find that you'll have success. And he goes on and says, it affects your whole body. Isn't that what it said? Sometimes we don't get into this. You know, it's time that we, as God's people, get off a barely get along street and move up to Abundant Life Avenue. It's time to rise to a new level. You can't ever stay at the same level. I don't care how many championships you win. You always have to realize you got to go to the next level. This was great, but we got next year. We've got to realize that every day with God, we got a new day to step up to a new life, to step up to something new, more of his great success than he has for us. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I don't know about you. I did. I got excited teaching it. Hello. And it's things that I've known all my life. I've heard it from my dad. I heard it all my life. You know, if you really, I want you to stand right now. And I want you to say this with me. And I want you to really believe it when you say it. I receive the advice that God gave me in Proverbs 4:20 through 22. Tonight I renew my commitment to read and study the word on a daily basis. I will pay attention to the word of God. I will listen to the word of God. I will not let the word depart from my eyes. I will hide the word in my heart. Thank you, Father, for helping me to live the blessed life based upon your word. Hallelujah. I hope you just didn't say that because I told you to, but I hope that is a new commitment. You know, every so often we need to make new commitments to God. Doesn't hurt us at all to make a new commitment to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you happen to be a part of us tonight and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, then it was hard for you to get involved in what we're talking about tonight. Or if you have accepted, but you know you're not exactly where you should be with God, then it may you need to come and rededicate your life. Or if you just go to church, you don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, then you can know before you leave here tonight. Anybody on any one of those invitations. And if there's you need prayer for anything, Holy Spirit, prayer for job, prayer for anything, agreement of prayer, the ladies are coming on this side, the guys are on this side. So as we're dismissed, if you'll come to the front, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hey, don't forget all the announcements that were made. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to get that special gift. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. You found it. Just come and be a part. We call ourselves the Rhema family. We have a great time living with God unlimited because the word of God says that we have an unlimited supply. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, visitors, for being with us. Come back. If you're looking for a church home, like we said, just come on and join us. We invite you to be a part of it. If you're visiting from out of the area, then just make this your home away from home every time in our area. Hey, if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, anything, come to the front right now. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen to the word. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here, 10 o'clock, Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, School of Bible. God bless.